This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. New video just emerging after a missing Jersey woman's car is found disabled in Pine Barrens tonight. Where is Danielle? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
A New Jersey woman's baffling disappearance while camping leaves her mother searching for answers. What happened to Danielle?
How could this beautiful young woman just vanish off the face of the earth just like that? I don't buy it. Okay, how did the whole thing start? Listen.
Saturday, Sue texts Danielle to check in, but doesn't get a response. That's not completely unusual, but as Sue sends several more texts and call multiple times with no response, she begins to fear something is wrong. When it's been a week with no contact with Danielle, Sue reports Danielle missing to the New Jersey State Police. Officers begin an intense investigation trying to retrace Danielle's steps.
Joining me in All-Star Panel, but straight out to Danielle's mom, Sue Quackenbush. Ms. Quackenbush, thank you for being with us. I'm going to get to the new video in just one moment, but Ms. Quackenbush, when is the last time you spoke with your daughter?
Friday night, April 12th.
And what was your conversation?
It was a good conversation. She said she was camping. I wondered why. She was there, I guess there was an eclipse. Then,
right.
We talked. I prayed with her. She struggled since the loss of her brothers and her father and grandfather. But she was sounding okay. She was just a regular conversation.
She was camping to look at the eclipse?
That was my understanding.
Okay. And she seemed in good spirits?
She was.
Okay. When you state that you prayed with her, that's because she had suffered loss, as had you. What had happened?
In 2015, I lost my oldest son to suicide. Not 10 months later, I lost my youngest son, who was serving as a Marine. 2020, Danielle lost her grandfather that she was living with to COVID, and a month later, her father to COVID as well.
Your family has been through so much, and now this. Ms. Quackenbush, how, as a crime victim myself, I'm always curious, how do you get to sleep at night? How do you take your mind off Danielle missing, even for 5 minutes?
It's not easy. I have strong faith. This will be made right, but it's not easy.
Ms. Quackenbush spoke to her daughter that day. Everything was fine. Listen.
Danielle Lopez is in frequent contact with her mom and calls her from the Brendan T. Burns State Forest campground Friday night. Sue tells her daughter it sounds like fun. Danielle hasn't been camping since she was a little girl. Danielle tells Sue to stop worrying when Sue questions if it's warm enough to be camping. Danielle ends their conversation with a usual, I love you and we'll talk soon.
Joining me is Danielle's mom, Sue Quackenbush. Ms. Quackenbush, you stated that everything seemed fine. You guys typically pray together over the phone. That was not unusual. So she goes out camping to see the eclipse, and you were actually worried that she might get cold?
Yes.
Well, describe that part of the conversation.
I just said it's April. It's cold at night. She assured me she had a heater. A campfire, and that she was okay. She struggled a lot after the losses. Danielle struggled a lot. So I worry.
What do you mean by struggled?
After the loss of her father, she had resources, and so she wasn't working. That didn't change anything. I'm a mom, having lost two children, I was very much in touch with her, calling her twice a day. We didn't always speak twice a day, but I called her twice a day.
So you guys were in very, very close contact. Has there ever been a time when it's been over a month that you don't speak to her?
Never.
Okay, back to the moment that Danielle seemingly just vanished off a very, very popular hiking trail. Listen.
At 9:11 a.m. Saturday morning, Danielle is spotted on surveillance footage buying coffee from a Wawa in Vincenttown, about a 10-minute drive from the campsite. Danielle does not appear to be in distress. Danielle uses a Wawa rewards card she shares with her mother, regarded by both as emergency money, to make her purchases that morning.
Okay, there is Danielle. And this is 9:11 a.m. on a Saturday morning, spotted in a Wawa in Vincenttown. That's only a few minutes away from the campsite where she was. Now, she's obviously not in any distress at all. And she uses the Wawa rewards card she shared with her mom. Now, Ms. Quackenbush, why did you regard that as, quote, emergency money? What does that mean?
Danielle had resources, but as a mom, if she ever needed gas, if she ever needed anything, we've had it since she was probably 18 that we've shared it. But there were times where she'd grab a coffee and a Wawa sandwich and use it, but not very often. So when I saw this, I wondered, but at least I knew where she was.
When did you realize, Ms. Quackenbush, something was wrong?
I talked with her on Friday night, and by Monday when I couldn't reach her, I was growing increasingly concerned every day.
So you believe something happened between the Saturday morning at 9:11 when we see her at Wawa's, and by Monday morning, something was horribly wrong.
That's when I started becoming alarmed, and then there were fires in the forest. I woke up that morning to news on the news that there were fires in the forest, and that's when I called the missing persons.
Straight out to Dr. John Dellatore joining us, licensed psychologist, and you can find him online at resolutionfcs.com. Dr. Dellatore, thank you for being with us. And that is what we call routine evidence, habit evidence, evidence of routine. They talk to each other about twice a day. They were texting back and forth all the time. We have seen timelines start based on something as seemingly innocuous as a dog barking, and that's the O.J. Simpson case when Nicole Brown's dog Akita began to moan and wail, and the neighbors heard it, and they had never heard anything like that before. Here, I would place the timeline starting at about 9:12 after she walked out of that Wawa on a Saturday morning, probably to Sunday night, because by Monday morning, her mother realized something was wrong.
Yeah, not only that, is that by Monday morning, you would think then that she would have responded back to her mother, right? So it's in that time frame that the behaviors of someone really kind of define what exactly it is that's going on. If they're still around and still able to communicate, you would think that they would engage in a behavior that would suggest that everything is fine. If they're not able to do that, then perhaps something else got in the way of them being able to communicate. Lost the phone, or the power goes out on the phone. Something happens in that time frame where she's not able to say, hey, to other people, right? Whether it's friends or whoever it is that's in her life, that she's not able to tell them everything's going okay, right? I'm just out here doing for myself.
Now with us, Brian Fitzgibbons, Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security. He leads a team of expert investigators specializing in locating missing people. Brian, the fact that she suddenly stopped, I know it's called routine evidence, evidence of habit, but I would start the timeline right there, because that was a huge departure from her normal dyed-in-the-wool routine of talking to mom, praying with mom on the phone, texting back and forth. That starts it for me that Saturday when she steps out of that Wawa.
Certainly, and I'm a student of renowned cold case detective J. Warner Wallace, who talks about these investigations in three phases: the fuse, the explosion, and the fallout. Okay, so when we're talking about what's leading up to her disappearance, we start that timeline where the departure from her routine behavior begins. A lack of a response back to a text, lack of communication. We know that her car broke down. these are all things that are that fuse of what happened that described to us the lead up to this event.
Ms. Quackenbush, I think actually now that I'm analyzing it, the timeline starts later based on the new video evidence you've seen of the GoPro. But let me ask you this, Sue. Did you call and report her missing?
Yes, I did.
When was that and what happened when you called to report her missing?
I believe it was the 23rd that I called. Again, I woke up that morning seeing that there were forest fires, significant forest fires in the Penn State Forest area. And without having been able to reach her, I saw her calls, the texts weren't going through, the calls weren't going through. And I gave it some time and called. Wednesday the 24th is when I called to report her missing.
Immediately, the search is on. Listen.
Believing Danielle is still in the area, state police launch massive searches for Danielle throughout the state park. Detectives are also searching for her blue two-door 2008 Hyundai Accent that hasn't been seen since Danielle disappeared. The searches get wider and wider until Danielle's car is found abandoned a week later, roughly 15 miles from the campsite. The car is parked in the center of a large puddle on Lost Lane Road, a dirt path deep in the Penn State Forest.
Sydney Sunra joining me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Explain to me about the car being found. What can you tell me about that? Now, this is after Wawa's.
Yes, ma'am. So a week into the search for Danielle, her car is found about 15 miles from the campsite where she was staying. The car was parked on a dirt road deep in the Penn State Forest. This is a heavily wooded area. It's very rural, but it seems to be a fairly popular trail. And her car is parked in this giant mud puddle, and it's just sitting there. The battery is dead.
Now, isn't it true when they jumped it, the emergency blinkers immediately started flashing, and we believe that the flashing blinkers is what ran out the battery?
That's correct, Nancy. That's exactly what police believe happened.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Okay, let's see a map of what we're talking about. Tell me again, Sydney, where is the car as it relates to the campsite and as it relates to Wawa's?
So the campsite is kind of directly in between both of these points we see on the map. So she goes to this Wawa's in one direction. Where her car is found is 15 miles from the campsite in the other direction. So her car is found disabled on this Lost Lane Road that goes straight through the Penn Forest. It's a popular trail, but it's rural, it's a dirt path, it's a heavily wooded area.
A camping trip in New Jersey's Pine Barrens turns into a missing persons case. Danielle Lopez's car found abandoned and disabled. Why did Danielle Lopez vanish?
Why does she vanish and where is she right now? Listen.
3 months after Danielle is reported missing, a couple comes forward with a possible sighting of Danielle. They give cops dash cam footage of an encounter with a woman on Lost Lane Road. Around 6 p.m. April 13th, the camera catches Danielle's car seen passing on Lost Lane Road. Danielle appears to be alone. A few minutes later, they pass Danielle's car again, but this time it's stuck in the mud. A few feet up the road, the couple checks on Danielle, who politely declines their offer of aid. Danielle does not appear distressed, and the couple goes on their way, leaving Danielle in the woods alone.
That adds to our timeline, which is extremely significant. Straight back out to Danielle's mom joining us tonight, begging for your help in finding her daughter. This family has been through so much. COVID deaths, a suicide, more, and now this. The mom just wants her daughter back. Tell me what you know, Ms. Quackenbush, about this couple that comes forward with a sighting of Danielle.
They pass her initially at 4 o'clock. That's in her car. They again see her at 5:50. That's the last time they saw her. The car was moved out of the puddle by some people. I think I sent you the video of that. They pulled her car from the puddle, not much further than that.
Hold on. Let's see that video, Ms. Quackenbush. Hold on just one moment. Let's pull that up for everyone to see. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Quackenbush.
So again, this is probably about 8 o'clock at night, with Danielle last being seen or spoken with by the GoPro people at 5:50.
Okay, here is her vehicle getting pulled out of the mud by some Good Samaritans. Now, a couple comes forward with a possible sighting, and they give this dash cam footage of an encounter. It was on Lost Lane Road. The camera is capturing Danielle's car. Now, this is where she was pulled out of the mud. Tell me what the couple says, Ms. Quackenbush.
She asks, you mean when she's walking, once they know she's stranded? Yes. They do not offer help, and she doesn't decline any help. She clearly says, what do I do? And can you push me out of that puddle? And when they say no, I mean, Danielle appeared no threat. She was coherent, speaking clearly to them. When they say no, she said, well, I guess I got myself into this. So I'll get myself out. And she just asked them the direction towards Oswego Lake. That's the direction she was last seen walking. That was at 5:50. The people that towed the car out did not report to the police or to the park rangers or anyone that there was a car out there. The GoPro people did not render any help to Danielle, nor did they call the park police or 911 to say there was a stranded female alone as night is approaching.
You know, to Matthew Mangino joining us, a high-profile lawyer, former district attorney, and author of The Executioner's Toll. Matthew Mangino, Ms. Quackenbush is just trying to find her daughter and bring her home. And she is laying out time after time after time when people could have helped her but didn't. Under our law, in our jurisprudence, there is no duty to help anyone. So as much as we feel it's wrong, it's not a crime.
Well, certainly, Nancy, it's not a crime not to render aid in a situation like this. I mean, it's unfortunate. It's lost opportunities to help somebody and possibly prevent a tragedy here. You know, would very easily, you know, just call the park rangers, just call the police, just call 911 and say, hey, you know, night is approaching and there's a woman by herself stranded in the woods. You know, you don't necessarily have to go try to pull the car out, but at least do something, you know, like any person in a similar situation might do. Just make a phone call. Just call the authorities and a tragedy may be averted.
You know, to Ms. Quackenbush joining us, she's begging for your help to try to find Danielle. So there were multiple times people could have helped Danielle. Isn't it true she actually asked them to help and you said, you're so polite, they declined?
She said exactly, what do I do? Which indicates that the person's in an unexpected situation and does not know what to do. So that is asking for help. The GoPro people have changed their story several times based on information as it comes out, I suppose, to appease their responsibility in this. But nonetheless, it would have been a completely different investigation had they not under any obligation, but had they, out of just being doing the right thing, had called help for her.
When you say that the GoPro people have changed your story, okay, what was the first story and how has it changed?
The first story, they reached out to me, saying that they regretted it. Danielle seemed kind and genuine. The later indications are that the police have the times wrong, but the police dumped that GoPro. They have the information correct. They said that Danielle said she had cell phone service and could call someone. Indications are she did not have any service in that forest. It's wooded so heavily that a lot of people don't have service out there. They've just changed up their story to fit how this story is going. Again, they didn't come forward with information for 3 months. into the investigation, where the investigation initially led me to believe Danielle would not be coming back based on evidence in the car. That wasn't so. That turned out to be different. And I referred to Danielle in the past tense as a result of that. I refer to her in the present tense now, but I have no way of knowing what's happened to her.
What was, Ms. Quackenbush, what was found in the car?
They say nothing now. Now they come back at me and say there wasn't evidence in the car. They didn't follow the evidence. They are now.
Danielle Lopez is all smiles as she buys coffee at a Wawa's gas station, her last known sighting. Now, does new video offer a glimmer of hope to the missing woman's family?
This beautiful young woman goes camping to watch the eclipse. She speaks to her mother, and then she's never seen again. Where is Danielle? Her mother, Sue Quackenbush, is with us tonight asking for your help. The tip line is 609-882-2000. Repeat, 609-882-2000, then hit extension 2254. 609-882-2000. There is a $5,000 reward in the search for Danielle Lopez. Now, I want you to hear what a tipster says.
Another tipster comes forward claiming to have pulled Danielle's car out of the mud after she was last seen walking away on April 12th. The tipster says the Hyundai's partially blocking the road, so he peeks inside and decides to tow it out of the mud after spotting the keys through the window. The Good Samaritan turns the car back off, but flips on the flashers, hoping the car's owner will get the message the car has been rescued and be pleased with the handiwork on their return.
Okay, Sydney Sumner joining us, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Sydney, explain to me again how this tipster fits into the timeline. And now we've got that video.
Yeah, Nancy. So people have come forward since the search for Danielle began. So at first we knew she had stopped this Wawa. We found her car a few weeks later, but we didn't know what happened after that Wawa. The tipster is coming forward, the couple with the GoPro, place Danielle on Lost Lane Road around 4 to 6 p.m. So that's where we see that sighting. And then afterwards, this other person comes forward claiming around 8 o'clock, they see Danielle's car. It's kind of blocking the road. It's stuck in this mud puddle. So they tow the car out. And in this video, we can see Danielle's headlights on. So the car was obviously functional at this point when they tow the car out. The Good Samaritan who decided to do this turns the flashers on, hoping the owner will be able to more easily see the car in the dark, will return, realize their car has been towed, and be able to get the heck out of there. Danielle never returns to the car. That's why the battery was dead when cops find it 2 weeks later.
Okay, now a more clear timeline is emerging. Brian Fitzgibbons, can you believe there were so many chances to help her? And no one did. First, as Ms. Quackenbush is relating, people come along and she says, I'm stuck. What do I do? And they decline to help her. The next thing you know, and Sydney, correct me if I'm wrong, after that, another tipster comes forward and says he finds the car sitting there in the middle of the road. Well, not completely in the middle, but blocking it. So he takes it upon himself to pull it over and flip on the emergencies. But in that short space of time, she goes missing.
Incredibly frustrating, Nancy. Two opportunities that wasted precious time for Danielle here, right? We have the opportunity, number one, the couple sees her walking down the road. I understand maybe in the first instance they didn't call for help, but almost 2 hours later to see a woman alone as darkness is setting in the woods, that call needed to be made to authorities to help her.
Ms. Quackenbush, tell me everything you observed on this newly emerging video, the GoPro video, from beginning to end. What do you see?
I see Danielle pretty carefree as she is just going along down to this Lake Oswego. the significance of Oswego. I don't know that why she was going to that lake. It's the name of the college her uncle went to. My thoughts are she might have called him from there. She's carefree. She's just cautious. And they exchange pleasantries and she's on her way. Then they come across her stranded, and then they go on to see the car stuck and stranded.
Okay, one more time, very slowly, from beginning to end. Ms. Quackenbush has seen this video. LA law enforcement has not released it yet. From beginning to end, what exactly do you see in the video?
I see Danielle walking. I can tell she's confused as to what to do.
Why do you say she's confused?
Because she didn't know what to do. I saw the apprehension, like, uh-oh, I've just got myself into a situation here. That's what I, as a mother, saw. She didn't know how to get out of it. But evidently there were plenty of people around that day. And the fact that she just disappeared within that window of time.
Were the GoPro people men or women?
It was a man and a woman, according to the people, but I don't hear another woman's voice in there and don't see either one of them. The GoPro is something mounted to the dashboard. I only hear his voice.
And what is he saying to her, Ms. Quackenbush?
Can't help you.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
New Jersey State Police have searched both the campground and Lost Lane Road on foot, horseback, ATVs, and with dogs, drones, helicopters, and a marine unit, turning up no new leads in Danielle's case. Officers say they've conducted dozens of interviews and run down every tip they have received to no avail. Cops say there is no evidence pointing to foul play, but the investigation is still open and active.
Ms. Quackenbush, what is your response to law enforcement saying there's no evidence of foul play?
Initially, they said there was, under suspicious circumstances. They haven't said that to me. They say it's active and ongoing, and there'll be more searches. But I could watch that GoPro video about another 300 more times. I just know this investigation would be completely different if either of those people that could have helped.
I've got to say, Matthew Mangino with me, veteran trial lawyer in the Pennsylvania jurisdiction. Matthew, I find that very odd. When you see a lady alone, a young woman alone, in a densely wooded forest at night, and she asked for help, and the words Ms. Quackenbush said were, "I can't help you. I can't help you." I find that very, very unusual, to the point of being suspicious.
Yeah, it is certainly strange. I mean, at a minimum, you know, you would say to a woman stranded in the woods, if you feel uncomfortable about putting her in your car, say, "Hey, go back to your vehicle. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to call for help." They don't have to give her a ride out of the woods necessarily, but at least give her some direction and provide her with an opportunity to get some help. I mean, their failure to do anything in this situation not only is improper in terms of trying to find Danielle immediately or help her, but also making it very difficult to properly investigate this case because so much time passed between when she was last seen and when she was reported missing. And that's unfortunate. If they had done something earlier, at least you could have had an immediate, meaningful investigation of her disappearance, or much better, they would have found her at her car and helped her and got her out of the woods and back home.
Brian Fitzgibbons, I question the words, "I can't help you." Not that I question Ms. Quackenbush. I'm sure she's telling us what she saw on that GoPro and what she heard. But that level of disregard for this young woman alone out in the woods at night on foot asking for help, "I can't help you." To me, that rises to a level of suspicion on whoever had that GoPro.
Certainly, and this is contrary to what we see in most missing persons cases that take place in the backcountry. Folks that are camping, hiking, exploring these backcountry areas, typically provide a genuine and tremendous amount of assistance to somebody in need of help. So this is outside of the norm of what we typically see with these types of cases.
You know, I'm just trying to make sense of it all. Now, Sydney Sumner joining us, crimeonline.com. Sydney, what exactly are police saying? Are they saying they don't suspect foul play?
That's correct, Nancy. According to detectives with the New Jersey State Police, they have no evidence supporting foul play being involved in her disappearance.
Delatorre, do you ever get tired of hearing that? A young girl or woman goes missing. I remember when Stacey Peterson went missing and her husband, a cop, says, she's just with her new boyfriend. That would be Drew Peterson. And everybody just accepted it. I mean, over and over, she's dead. Over and over and over, we hear, oh, no foul play. Why does that keep happening? People just chalk it off, what, she slung up with another guy? That didn't happen.
Yeah, the problem is the decision-making that goes into when you're conducting an investigation, because when you don't find something as an investigator, as just a human being, when you don't find evidence of something, you can jump to the conclusion that the thing that you would be typically doing in an investigation didn't happen. And that's a falsehood, right? That's a complete falsehood, because any number of things could have contributed to an investigator not finding the evidence of foul play. And currently we're seeing a lot of issues, including with this so-called couple with the GoPro, that needs to be investigated further. If you investigate under the assumption that something happened, then you can start looking for things that maybe support it or don't support it. But you can't just outright say, because then that's another issue that's coming into play with not being able to find Danielle.
Ms. Quackenbush, have you met with the GoPro couple?
No, they won't. I've asked, no.
You still have to say they've asked what?
I've asked them if they would release that GoPro video to me. The investigation is with the major crimes unit. It is not with missing persons. The investigation is with the major crimes unit. So that indicates that a crime or something that they know that a crime has occurred.
So them saying they don't suspect foul play, you don't believe that because this has gone to major crimes?
Yeah, they never said that they don't suspect foul play to me. They have not said that.
So the GoPro couple, you say you have not met with them?
No, the police asked them not to have any further communication with me after asking them if I could have the video.
So you asked for the video. What did they say?
The state police asked them not to release it.
Why?
I don't suppose there is a why. I guess it's evidence. I can't say. I would watch that over and over and over and over, and I've only been given limited time to see it, and each time looking for jewelry she had on or looking at it differently, but I've been allowed 3 times to see it.
Danielle Lopez is 5'4" tall, 135 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Danielle usually wears glasses and was last seen wearing a black long-sleeve shirt, blue jeans, and light-colored shoes. Sue Quackenbush, desperate to bring her daughter home and asking the public for their help. There's a limited time $5,000 reward for information leading directly to Danielle Lopez. If you have any information on Danielle Lopez, please call New Jersey State Police Missing Persons Unit 609-882-2000 extension 2554 or call the Community United Efforts Center 24-hour hotline at 910-232-1687.
There is a $5,000 reward in exchange for information leading to Danielle Lopez's whereabouts. Now, everyone that seemingly passed her and did nothing is in stark contrast to this.
On September 1st, 5 days after Gabby Petito leaves a restaurant in Wyoming crying while Brian Laundrie is angry with staff, Brian Laundrie arrives in the Northport home he and Gabby Petito share with Laundrie's parents. Brian Laundrie has driven Gabby Petito's van back to Florida, but Gabby is not with him when he arrives.
He's apologizing, but I guess I said it in a mean tone, and he got really frustrated with me, and he locked me out of the car and told me to go take a breather, but I didn't want to take a breather, because I wanted to get going. We're out of water.
So it kind of made you more upset.
Yeah.
It didn't help calm you, it made you more upset.
Yeah. And
so then what happened?
And, so I'm
travels?
Yeah.
Okay.
An opportunity for law enforcement to have saved Gabby Petito's life. Instead, they named her the aggressor and sent the couple on their way. She was then murdered by Brian Laundrie, who then drove her Ford Transit back across the country and started scheming and plotting to hide what had happened. Ms. Quackenbush, you state that you look at that GoPro video, or when you had the limited access to it, over and over and over again of your daughter. Why?
It's the last known I have of her. I'm just stuck by the fact that they didn't offer help. I hope to see something new each time, but again, I don't have it, so I can't look at it. I've only seen it 3 times. Again, Danielle's boyfriend didn't report her missing for several weeks after I did, so there's wonder about that as well.
That's true, Sydney Sumner. Her boyfriend did not report her missing.
Correct, Nancy. The boyfriend, who apparently she was camping with that weekend, did not report her missing.
Sydney, do we know why he did not report her missing? I mean, obviously, they had split up. But why did he leave her to start with?
Well, Nancy, we know that Danielle was not alone at the Wawa's, but police have not released who she was with. She was traveling with someone Saturday morning, but correct, by 4 p.m. she was alone on Lost Lane Road. We don't know why the boyfriend abandoned her, where he went, if he truly abandoned her. We know that police have spoken with him. He's given a statement, but police have not released any details about what he told them.
Ms. Quackenbush, you stated that GoPro is the last known sighting of Danielle. When you were watching it over and over, what did you hope to learn?
Again, I only saw it 3 times, but I don't know what's to learn. But I know the police have watched it hundreds of times. I just hope if I saw anything, something. I know that her tent was removed from the campsite and she had been paid through some more time. So I just would like to see the evidence or the car. If there's no evidence, I'd like to see her things that might lead to something that maybe only a mother knows and detectives don't. I search. I do something every day for this, in getting the billboards and trying to come up with answers.
Where did you put together the money for the reward?
That is the Q Center, the Community United Effort for Missing Persons out of Wilmington, North Carolina, that offered and put up the reward. The billboard time was donated after many phone calls to billboard companies. They did donate that time. The billboard will be up for 30 days.
Brian, do you ever just get exhausted with hearing moms and family members seemingly doing it all on their own, all alone, trying to find their daughter?
It tears your heart out, Nancy. And that's one of the reasons that we keep doing what we do at USPA, is to provide a voice and some shred of hope to these families who have endured so much.
Ms. Quackenbush, I have a little girl. I cannot imagine life without her or my son. What is your message to everyone listening tonight?
To please reach out. Someone knows something. Someone knows something. I reached out to the Gabby Petito Foundation. I reached out to many foundations just wondering how to get more attention for this. So, Nancy, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this for Danielle. I just want people to know that infectious smile, her kind and generous ways, how important family is to her. That all matters. I love her deeply, and I'll never stop doing whatever it is I can do.
Ms. Quackenbush, we're not just airing this, we are praying for answers and that somehow Danielle is brought back to you. Again, the tip line is 609-882-2000, extension 2554. Repeat, 609-882-2000. There is a $5,000 reward for information leading to Danielle Lopez. We remember American hero Detective Terrence Green, Fulton County Sheriff's, shot and killed in the line of duty. Survived by wife turned widow Chevelle and sons Marquis, Isaiah, Willie, and Samuel. American hero Detective Terrence Green.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.